Turn again to John chapter 14. I'm reading at the beginning a very well-known section of God's Word. That doesn't mean when we're familiar with a piece of God's Word that we don't come back to it again and again. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." We all know that often in life, that life hurts. The world that we're living in, it hurts. Every day there's a lot of trouble, strife, a lot of problems. And I'd be very surprised if any of you, any of us, you or me, have gone through life without worries, without problems, without anxieties, without fears at one point or another. Maybe just now, you find that life is very calm, that life is lived at an even keel, and that is great. But very often there are things that come into our lives that trouble us. And so we have this great statement at the beginning here from the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says very simply, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And these actually are powerful words. And when these powerful words are great words, words that grab your attention are spoken, you always want to think, right, who is it who has actually said that? Because that can make a big difference. And we find that the person who has said this is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so it's very important that we lay hold upon what Jesus is saying. Now, you and I know that when somebody, if you're really worried about something, and you're maybe upset about something, and somebody comes along with the best will in the world, and they sort of put their arm around you, say, "Ah, don't worry, it'll be all right." And you might say to yourself, "It's okay for you to say that. But how do you know it's going to be all right? What authority do you have for saying it's going to be all right?" And we do that. I've done it, and people have done it to me, and it's a nice thing to do because we mean well to someone. We say, "Hey, it'll be all right, don't worry." But unless we can give a real reason why we shouldn't worry, then that's not really going to help. And that's a great difference with Jesus, because Jesus comes and he tells us really why we ought not to have our hearts really troubled. So we see from here that Jesus is saying, and he really gives us the reasons. And one of the things that Jesus is doing here is trying to focus us on the big picture. Of course, the disciples were going to feel troubled because Jesus had just told them he was going to go away. And that was big news. That was difficult to digest. Because they had spent 3 years in the company of Jesus. And they felt great. So would you, so would I, if we were going around with Jesus. Because they had seen firsthand Jesus do just about everything. Not just that was humanly possible, but even what was humanly impossible. They had seen him exercise power over death. They had seen him open the eyes of the blind and get those who were deaf hearing again, and people who couldn't speak, they were speaking, and people who were their arms and legs paralyzed, he saw seen them walking and moving their hands. They had seen him still just with a word, the sea from a raging storm to a flat calm. They'd seen all that. And they'd also heard his wonderful words, and they felt so good when they were in the company of Jesus. They felt everything was going to be all right. But now he says, "I'm leaving you. I'm going away." And that was devastating news for them. So it's inevitable but that their hearts are going to be troubled.
And you know, that would be the very same for ourselves as Christians. Because when we lose a sense, which happens from time to time, if we lose a sense of the presence of Christ, if we lose this sense of the Lord being with us, if we go to His Word and it never speaks to us, and all of a sudden we feel alone and we feel isolated, and we wonder if we've ever been saved at all, that is one of the most difficult things that the Christian can face. Because at the heart of our lives as Christians is the Lord. And we know that when the Lord is in place, then everything is really in place. So we lose that kind of sense of the Lord being with us, and we feel that we're abandoned and alone, that is really, really difficult. And you know, in a funny way, this is what separates the Christian from the non-Christian. Because on the one hand, what distresses and disturbs the Christian more than anything, having a sense of feeling that the Lord is not with them, is the very thing that the world, or many in the world, actually want to have. They don't want the Lord. They don't want any sense of His presence. Even although they don't realize that it's His presence that really is keeping everything going. But they want God. There's so many people even in our own town, would love to have God removed out of society. They say, it's okay, you can have God personally in the shelter. Don't bring God into society. We don't want God. Well, at one level, people cannot remove God. But you know, the worst thing that can happen to us as a nation is that God would gradually remove His influence and His presence little by little. Because if we're left to our own devices, then we're in a terrible place. And that's something we should always be praying for, is that the Lord would never leave us as a nation, that His presence will always be as an influence of us. But it's here we see the great kind of dividing line between the Christian and the non-Christian. The Christian is really anxious and upset when they lose a sense of the Lord's presence. The unbeliever doesn't really mean anything to them. So, if today, for instance, you're saying to yourself, you know, whether I have a sense of God's presence or not doesn't mean a thing to me, then I would suggest that you're not in the best place at all. But if you're here today and you're aware that the Lord's presence isn't with you, and that is what you're craving above all, then I would say you're actually in a good place. So that's why these disciples, they were so upset, because Jesus had said to them that He was going to leave them. Now, when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, this actual word, trouble, has the idea of something that's stirred and agitated. And of course, that is one of the wonderful things of having Jesus as the shepherd, is that He understands, what we're saying to the young people, is that Jesus knows exactly how we are, what we need. And if He sees us agitated and upset and fearful, then He's able to bring this word into our soul. Remember what it says there in Psalm 85. I hear what God the Lord will speak. To His folk He will speak peace. Isn't that great? God will speak peace into our soul. So it's very important that if we're agitated, if we're upset, if we're worried, we come to God's Word, because it is here that God will speak to us, and He speaks peace into the soul, into the heart of His people. Now, so Jesus Himself, this is part of the wonderful thing about it all, is that when Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, He Himself knows what it is to have a troubled heart. Sometimes we forget that Jesus experienced all these things. You know, if you go through a difficult situation and somebody comes to help you,
It makes the world of difference if you know that that person can really identify with where you're at. If you know that this person has gone through exactly what you go through as well, that makes a world of difference. Whereas if it's somebody who has not the remotest idea of what you're talking about, I've sometimes over the course of the time, people have shared things with me, I have to be honest and say, you know, while you want to try and help, sometimes you're saying, you know, this is beyond me, I don't completely, I know what you're saying, but I can't enter into this. But you know, that's not the case with Jesus, because he knows. And Jesus himself knew what a troubled spirit was, because it tells us in the previous chapter 13, verse 21, we have there where it tells us that Jesus, after saying these things, Jesus was troubled in spirit. He said, one of you will betray me. Isn't that amazing? Jesus knows what a troubled spirit is. And that's why it's so important that here he comes and he's saying to the disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. And I love the fact also that Jesus is here ready to comfort the disciples. Because when you think about it, if there's any one person in the world right now who's needing, or at this particular point is needing comfort, it's Jesus. Because Jesus is just about to enter into the most awful cauldron of suffering that is possible to imagine. And that's why his soul is troubled. And that's why in the Garden of Gethsemane, a wee while later, the force and the agony of what was pouring down upon him, and yet what was to come in an even greater measure, where he was sweating his great drops of blood. Jesus needed comforters. But the word again tells us comforters found in him. The only comfort that Jesus really got, there was an angel, remember, came and strengthened him in the garden. And there was one person that gave him comfort, and that was Mary of Bethany. Mary did for Jesus what no other person did. Because you remember how Mary came and she anointed the feet of Jesus. We read about it in a couple of chapters earlier. And remember what Jesus says, that Mary has done this in light of my burial. Mary recognized what nobody else recognized. She understood more about Jesus' mission than even John, who leaned against the breast of Jesus, and Peter, who said he was ready to die for Jesus, Mary understood more because she anointed the feet of Jesus. Remember when the others went to anoint the body of Jesus? The body wasn't there, he had risen. Mary had already done that. She had anointed Jesus when he was still alive, in light of his burial. And you say to yourself, what did Jesus, what did Mary, how can Mary understand more than John and Peter and Andrew and all the disciples? Because always we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. The place of humility, the place of learning, the place of understanding. She had a hunger to understand and to know what Jesus was saying. That's where you would find Mary. But at this particular time, the disciples were too self-obsessed. They were arguing amongst themselves, which one of them is the greatest? Can you imagine? Here's Jesus just about going to give his life for them. And all they're concerned about which is number one. Quite extraordinary. And no wonder their hearts are troubled, because they've lost their focus. Their focus isn't on Jesus' nature. So Jesus tells us what we are to do with regard to having troubled hearts. And the first thing is very obvious. He says, faith in God, believe in God. That is the most important thing that we can do, is to have faith in God.
You know, I don't know, a lot of you here, I don't know everybody, so I don't know exactly where everybody is. But the key to life is having faith in God. Without faith in God, life doesn't quite fit together. Irrespective of how good it may be to just now, irrespective of how well your plans might be coming together. And I know from experience that there have been periods in my own life before I became a Christian that I felt pretty good in life. But you know, it doesn't last. We need to have God at the very center of our lives. And Jesus knows that. And that's why he says it is imperative to have faith in God. Because remember that God gives us, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives us peace. We mentioned that earlier about finding peace in God's word. Remember what we read at the end of this chapter? Jesus said, "My peace I give you." And when he asked, notice the word gives you that. You know, the word gives a form of peace, but it's fleeting, it's transient, it comes and goes. The peace that Jesus gives is different, it's deep-rooted. That doesn't mean that there aren't times when we can still be troubled and agitated, but there is a settled peace deep down, right down, further down within us. There's this sense of peace that Jesus gives. So this is what Jesus gives us, this peace. And of course this peace is, it's not something that he gives like us. He's got like a wee box with various things that he says, "Oh well, I'm going to give you some of my joy. Let's go give you some, and send you some joy." No. My peace, when Jesus gives us peace, he gives himself. He can't give us peace separate to himself. So that when we get his peace, we are actually getting himself. So when we receive Jesus, we receive his peace as well. Now, it's imperative, of course, that we trust, believe in God. That's what he says. Now, you may say to yourself as a Christian here, right, I do. And it's obvious. But you know, there's two levels of believing in the Lord. There is the one level, which is the most important one, and which every Christian has done, where their lives have been committed to the Lord, and they've been saved by the Lord, and they've been washed by the Lord, and they're secure, and they're saved in Jesus. And you're trusting Jesus for your salvation, and that's the number one priority. But there's trust at another level, where we trust Jesus every day. And that's where so often we fail. Because we often don't trust Jesus every day. We trust ourselves. We trust other people. We trust other people's opinions. We trust systems. We trust how often it is that Jesus is the last resort. He's the last person we go to when we're facing problems. We're trying to sort things out ourselves. It'd be very interesting to see in the course of our life how much we try to sort out ourselves. And only it's at the end that we go and we say, "Oh, Lord, I should have come to you quite a long time ago. I'm stuck here. I don't know what to do." It just shows that although we trust the Lord as our Savior, our basic trust in our day-to-day living is not what it ought to be. And that's what Jesus is saying. He said, in order to have your hearts delivered from this anxiety and trouble, it is imperative that your daily life is given to the Lord and that you're trusting Him all the time, every single day. And, you know, that's so important because the Lord, when the Lord is with us, we can count and bank on Him. Though I am used to trouble walk, I life from ye shall harvest of the Sabbath days. And the wonderful thing for the Christian is that as we journey through life with the Lord, we're also aware that at no point ever are we on our own. And that's a price that's so high we can't put a price on it. It's one of the troubles so many people feel today is isolation. Separation. The Christian, you know, should never, unless there are these periods of darkness, feel bad. And you know, the wonderful thing is that even when you come to die, you won't be on your own. It's amazing, God, that death is something we're all going to have to face. And family and friends are so important in life. And at every step in life, we so often can count on family and friends. But there comes a point where we have to go through. It reaches a stage where nobody can help us anymore when we go on to death. But you know, the wonderful thing is that for the believer, when we step in, when we breathe our last and enter into death, the Lord is with us. At no point are we on our own. And He takes us home to be with Himself. That is not what happens for those who don't believe in the Lord, for those who don't trust the Lord. They enter into death all on their own. Isn't that an awful thought? All on their own. It's a beautiful thought. And that's why it's so important that our lives are given to the Lord and trusted in Him. So the Lord Jesus is saying, let not your hearts be troubled. And the Lord doesn't want you to be living a troubled life. And of course then, we're looking at the big picture. The Lord says, but you know something? Sometimes we get so caught up in just what's happening here in this world of this life. Let's look at the big picture. Right now, if you could see, the Lord is working everything in your life for good, because He has a great future for you. And in fact, He has a, sometimes it's termed the house of many mansions, many rooms, that's what we're told here. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. In other words, really what it's saying is, there's room for you, there's room for me. It's quite a room. It's a wonderful thought that, you know, that heaven, although there's going to be a number there that nobody can number, there's still going to be plenty of room. There's going to be room for every single believer. And today, the wonderful thing about the news of the gospel is, Jesus says to us, go out and tell people, yet there's room. Heaven's not full yet. There's still room. If you're here today without Jesus, room for you. You can't say, oh, there's no room for the devils. That's what the message is saying today. Yet there is room. And that's what we'll find when we die, that is plenty, plenty. And no one person will be missing from that day comes. And Jesus said He's going to prepare a place. Now, the main way He did that, of course, was by going to the cross. That's what He had to do. He had to go to the cross. He had to die for us. He had to go under the power of death. But before He went under the power of death, He had to go under the power of God's judgment and justice for our sins. That was a hidden work that went on the cross. It was a very public part to what happened on the cross, where everybody could see. They could see Jesus hanging there on the cross, they could hear His words. There was the darkness, there was the earthquake, and all these kind of things. But there was a hidden work going on, just between Jesus and the Father. That's why Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? As the Father was dealing with the Son for us, for our sins. So that's what Jesus was doing. This is part of how He was preparing the way for us. And then, of course, He prepared by going under the power of death and defeating it. Going under the power of the grave and defeating it. Breaking the power of hell that should be ours. He broke all that. He won all that. So He's prepared the way and He's made a way for us to glory. And you know, we say to her, that's why Mrs. Philip said, oh, we don't know where you're going. And Jesus Christ said, I'm on the way. And you know what? This is how we trust. Because as we journey through every day, Sometimes the thought comes to us and we say, what happens? Supposing I don't tend to do what? You know, I'm not ready or anything, but Jesus is the way. If you trust in Jesus, Jesus is the way. He's got it all sorted. This is too big for you to swallow. You know, there's lots of things in life too big for us to deal with. But this is one of them. This is the big one. So you've handed it to Jesus, and Jesus says, don't worry. When I come to the time, come sleeping to death, I've got it all sorted. I'll be looking after you, but the place started for you. Can you move? I'm going to take you home to be with myself. In the meantime, I'm busy preparing you. The place is ready, but I've got to get you ready for the place because you and I are not quite ready to go. We'll be here until the time the Lord appoints us to go. Then we have that picture in the Lazarus carried by the angels into glory. They will be forever in the presence of the Lord. No wonder Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. That's what he says to you, says to me today. Let us be sure that that is what we're doing. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks for your word and the encouragement of your word brings. We ask, Lord, that we will have that faith to trust in you, Lord. Lord, it's so easy to lose the focus and to get sidetracked and to get bogged down in life. But Lord, we pray that we may look to you, believe in you, trust in you, Lord. Grant us your grace, we pray. Bless us and take us to our homes safely. We pray that as we hear this wave sound, we pray that that wave might bless you from you, Lord. Watch over us today and do us good. Cleanse us from our every sin in Jesus' name, we ask. Amen. We're going to conclude by singing from Psalm 23. This is from Sing Psalm, Psalm number 23. The Lord is my shepherd, nor want shall I know. He makes me to lie down in green pastures grow. He leads me to rest, for the calm and waters flow. My wandering steps he brings back to his way, and straight paths of righteousness make me stay. This he has done, his great name to display. Though I walk in death's valley, where darkness is near, nor shall I look to the old people that I fear. The Lord, please, child, bring me comfort.